Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with Rob.
Hello.
All right, so we are back for week of March 27th. just remember to sign up for our premium content. You can go to lookforwardshow.com and sign up. It's $5 a month or $50 for the entire year. That gets you access to every full episode of Look Forward, as well as all of our access to all of our premium shows like Airing of Grievances, which is a show I do with one of my co-hosts, Micah, where we relate Seinfeld to our daily lives, which is really funny. We have No Time to Bleed, which is our action movie podcast that we do twice a month. And of course, this show. We do have a number of other shows that are weekly shows in our network, and you can check all of those out at thenerdpocalypse.com. All right, so let's get started. First story up in domestic politics this week. So what we're going to do from now on is we're going to have three basic sections, which is going to be domestic politics, foreign politics, and then, of course, this week in wackadoo politics, which is always fun. So straight away, in domestic politics this week, Ted Cruz has announced that he will be running for president. He announced it on Twitter at like 12 a.m.
It was on midnight on the dot. He announced it on Twitter just saying, I'm running, which is the silliest shit ever.
It was very bizarre.
And then, see, I missed that. I woke up.
Yeah, I didn't hear about the tweet until later.
I woke up, and because I start my day late because I work from home and do whatever the fuck I want. And I go and I turn the TV on like I always do. And I sit down and I see this, what I think is at first a press conference. But then it's Ted Cruz doing his own TED Talk.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like with the headphone gear.
He's doing his own TED Talk in this Christian school.
It's Liberty University.
Liberty University, where the students half of them don't look like they give any kind of a crap
right
about this dude.
Well, not only that, by the way, this is, if you don't know, Liberty University is the college started by Jerry Falwell. So that says a lot.
Oh, too. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it says a lot.
I knew it was very, very conservative.
Very conservative.
And yeah, there's We Stand with Rand t-shirts in the background, and that was funny.
Yes, that was very good. I enjoyed that.
My problem was I actually was listening to what he was saying, and he wasn't saying anything. He was just rambling off his usual talking points, and it wasn't really a speech. It was just...
How awesome am I?
And it was just, I believe in this. It was just... Every stupid talking point you could possibly... I believe in... We remember President Obama not standing with Netanyahu. I believe in a president that stands with the state of Israel. And I'm like, those are two different ideas, you jerk.
Well, they're just platitudes. I believe in freedom. Do you?
Yes.
And eagles and and school lunches. Like, that doesn't mean anything to me.
He's an unfunny Colbert right now.
He is, yeah. That's actually a very good way of putting it.
Like, he's as off the edge as Colbert is, but it's not funny. It's just ridiculous.
And he's being serious.
Well, it is kind of pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is really hilarious to think. Now, here are some things I will say. I did like the fact that, and this has been pointed out in other places, I did like the fact that he didn't do the exploratory committee thing.
That's stupid. I hate those.
Yeah. I'm forming a committee to figure out if I want to be the leader of the free world. Yeah, let me guess. You figured it out. Turns out you want to be. Just announce and let's move on. I give him credit for just announcing.
It's the only thing I give him credit for.
Yes.
Everybody else, especially like Hillary, shut up.
Yeah.
You're running. No one.
Let me think about it.
Come on. The announcement, it doesn't have to be a big stupid ceremony. You know what? I kind of like the fact that it was just a tweet.
Like, yeah. I think that the notion... Like, we have been through these elections forever, right? This would be the 45th president. I think we get it. Like, if you're running, just run. Just say, look, guys, I'm running. I'm coming out full steam. Let's do this thing. The reason why they him and ha is because they know the second you announce you're running, those knives come out, dude. And they come out hard. Because, look, and we're going to talk about it. Ted Cruz, the second they came up, the left was like sharpening those knives, like, oh, let's go to work. Let's get down. And the right's like, let's get down. Let's go to work. They were getting ready. They were coming for him, too. I think the right has come after Ted Cruz harder than the left.
Of course they do, because they play super dirty. And in that respect, I guess the exploratory committees make sense. Just don't announce your exploratory. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, just come. Yeah, exactly. What's the point?
Yeah, just hire detectives to dig up dirt on you and then dig through that and figure out what you got to do. But I don't want to hear about it. I don't care. Right. I don't want to hear about anything until it's actually time for you to run for president. And if you're obviously going to run for president, don't screw around the bush. Just say it.
Right.
Like it's.
We'll make our choices based on whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever our reasons are. But yeah, I didn't be dragged across the coals every few years to deal with this nonsense. Just
and
do it.
Everyone, they've been going after Hillary forever. Hillary, just say it.
Yeah.
Say it.
I mean, the thing is, it's no news that Hillary Clinton is running. It's only news as to which other Democrats are running.
Yeah,
like, basically. That's it. I mean, we already know Bernie Sanders is running for president. We know that Hillary is going to run for president. Everyone else is sort of kind of up in the air. But you have an idea Joe Biden's going to run. Which
I hope so.
Look, you know what? Again, I mean, we talked about it. Joe Biden is like the truth machine, dude. Like
he's the truth machine.
He's just going to say it.
He's Uncle Joe. And I need more ridiculous, creepy moments out of him. I just need, hey, I'm Uncle Joe.
Yeah, just rubbing your shoulder, rubbing Hillary's shoulders in the middle of the debate. Like, what are you doing, Joe?
Let me breathe on your neck. Can you hear me breathing? Yeah. Your skin smells good.
like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But at the same time, he's such a goofball. But at the same time, he's an honest goofball. And that's his bonus, right? That's his thing, is that he'll give it to you straight, dude. And people like that about him, right? But he's a total goofball. I don't think he has a chance in a snowball's chance to win.
Nope.
But I think he brings a level of gravitas, and he brings a level of almost defending what Obama has been able to accomplish to that debate, right? He can say, listen, this is what we did. This is what we were able to accomplish. Now, if you're going to stand there in the Democratic debate and say like these things, like you pretty much can't stand in the Democratic debate and really badmouth the president. Not that I think they really will, but maybe they would can't, because he's there to actually legit defend it.
That's if they haven't learned their stupid lesson about not trying to lean to the right when trying to get elected.
Right.
Like I don't know if any of them have learned the lesson from the elections recently. We'll see.
Yeah.
Democrats are kind of
Democrats are terrible at politics. They're awful at it. They're decent at policy, but they're terrible at politics. It's like, why would you lean hardcore to the right to alienate your base?
Instead of just saying, hey, we accomplished this. It's so easy.
Yeah.
But they won't just say it.
Right.
And it's so frustrating.
Well, and we had talked about this like a number of weeks ago. It's that whole like nerd versus jock thing, right? It's so easy to be like San Dimas High School football rules as your platform versus the Democratic platform of like, well, we passed healthcare, gave 16 million people insurance. And we set up these exchanges, and Biden's like, shut up, nerd, shut up, nerd, shut up, nerd. I just want to watch the football game. So they have to figure out messaging. Messaging is like their big thing. They need a couple people who are really good at just like boilerplate stuff. Like you just boil down all that nerd detailed stuff that all really matters and it's important. You need to boil it down to a slogan, like sloganeering, where it's just like, you know, by Menin. Like you need, that's what you need for politics. And as dumb as that sounds, it's true.
But the problem finding a slogan is that when you're running away from Obama and Obama represents everything in the Democratic Party, what the hell are you gonna make a slogan out of?
Right. So you have to embrace him.
Yeah.
And look, frankly, if you look at the numbers and you look at what he's accomplished, why would you run away from it?
It doesn't
run towards it. Look, what you say is, If I'm running for president and I'm a Democrat, what you say is, listen, Obama was able to accomplish these things and they were building blocks and they worked. Here are the numbers. They worked. Now watch what I'm going to do to add on top of that. Mm-hmm. You don't just stand there and go, we did it. That's it. No, you stand there and you go, yeah, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. Look what this guy was able to accomplish. Now imagine if you give us a Congress that we can work with. Imagine what we can do even better. That was a stepping stone. We're about to do even more. You like that insurance? How about better insurance? You like, you know, you like Obamacare? How about we make a government exchange and really drop the prices? Mm-hmm. How about that? How about we do that? Well, if you build on the shoulders of giants, then you make real progress. But the Democrats are so, they're like, oh, but people don't like Obama. Some people, there's a channel that says Obama's terrible, so we better not say anything, right?
Ugh. Yeah, because it's the most trusted name in news. It's also the most mistrusted name.
Right.
By much larger numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Okay. 35% of Americans watch Fox News. Yes. The other 70% either don't care or hate it.
Yes.
So, okay. And the other people just don't watch the news at all. So what does it matter?
So ridiculous.
Right. So here are a couple things, getting back to Ted Cruz, here are a couple things that are fascinating. Ted Cruz is my favorite because he's like, he looks like Joe McCarthy.
Oh, God.
His ideas are like Barry Goldwater, and he's about as charismatic as a brick. So here are a couple things.
I can't even argue with any of that.
No, it is what it is. So here's a couple things that he sort of proposed or talked about in some level of platitudes during his announcement at Liberty University. So he says, quote, he says, imagine in 2017, a new president signing legislation repealing every word of Obamacare. And apparently the crowd went wild. They're like, yeah, screw poor people. Woo! Because we go to a religious college where we're supposed to take.
Don't say the whole crowd, because they were there, man. It was mandatory for them to be there.
That's true.
If they didn't go, they got a $10 fine. And when you're in college, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. I love that. Is there anything more Orwellian than announcing your presidency and talking about freedom to a crowd that is forced to be there to listen to you
at Liberty University?
Yeah. That how he didn't see the irony of that is amazing.
He doesn't see
the
irony in any, he doesn't care. Anyway. So yeah, repeal Obamacare, because that's going to make you popular.
60 million people would lose their health insurance.
Yep.
And prices would then skyrocket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, if you think it's going to help, Ted, if you think it'll help the economy, go for it.
Oh, my God. It would crater everything. Yeah. It was.
But here's the thing. Let's say that you do it, right? Let's say that you become president. God forbid. You become president and you are able to pass your agenda. Because let's get real. If he does become president, they could get rid of it because they have enough votes to do it.
He will push hard. He's the one.
I don't think they have the Senate in the House. They have enough votes.
I'm
to
saying
do it.
Other Republicans that get in office would actually realize, oh, this might be a mistake.
Hopefully.
And back off of their promises. But he's crazy. So he would just push.
Yeah. Now he says, you know, okay, I'm going to repeal every word of it. What's your alternative? Because this is my biggest thing with the Republican Party. And I think it's going to end up being sort of a theme of this show. And it would certainly has been a theme of them in the last 6 years. What are you for? I hear what you're against. What are you for?
And that was even in an interview he did recently on Fox News with Megyn Kelly.
Of all people.
Right? Who once in a great while is actually a journalist.
She's literally the best one on that now.
Which is sad because she's still terrible.
That is correct.
Like even she was like, so we know what you blocked. What have you done? And the one thing he said was, well, we blocked terrorists from getting on planes. Like, great. You did the one thing everyone in the world is going to agree with.
Yeah.
Cool.
What else have you done?
You've done nothing. All you've done is block, 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 block.
Yeah.
You caused
my friends to lose money because I work for the federal government. You caused my friends to be out of work for 2 weeks while you did all that nonsense.
Yeah. How do you have a platform for president when your platform is anti-Obama, when he's not going to be president anymore?
Yeah, how does that work?
What are you going to do? What are you going to fight against?
Again, what are you for?
Yeah.
What are you for? Because that's what a president, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, like it's an easy joke to make. And I think it doesn't take a lot of real work to make a joke like this. But the classic thing is, oh, Obama's for change. Oh, where's my change? Oh, change, change, change. Yeah, but at least he is for something. He was for changing the system. What is your platform going to be? Let me guess. Restoring, right?
Yeah, taking the Constitution back.
Right. Well,
which gets into this next word on here that I hate, and I'm so tired of hearing it. Lawlessness.
Yes.
Shut up.
Well, here, go ahead and take the second topic.
So, the lawlessness on immigration, whatever that means, with Obama's executive order. Guess what, guys? Executive orders are perfectly within the law. Obama has done the fewest, like, ever. So calm it down. Stop making up nonsense like the lawlessness. He's a dictator. He's going to kill us all, blah, blah, blah.
He's a dictator. That's hilarious.
He's a weak dictator.
He's literally the worst.
He's weak, and he's a dictator. And he's lawless, and he doesn't know the Constitution. He's destroying the Constitution because he hates America, because if you hate America, you want to be president.
Yeah. Destroying it from the inside. It's the ultimate gamble, really.
Oh, my goodness. I can't stand this nonsense.
Right. But so, yeah, I mean, so the president came out, you know, a number of months ago and did the executive order to basically help amnesty to a degree for illegal citizens and help their legal status by not deporting people who have families here and things like that, you know, sort of reinforcing sentiments of the Dream Act and, you know, helping kids who have been born here and things like that, right? That are children of illegal immigrants, right? Things that, you know, I don't know what Jesus would do. I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, looking out for poor people and what have you. So here's a quote from Ted Cruz on that. Instead of the lawlessness and the president's unconstitutional executive amnesty, imagine a president that finally, he said it three times, secures the border. And imagine a legal immigration system that welcomes and celebrates those who come to achieve the American dream. Emphasis on legal.
That
emphasis on legal is
Here's my thing. Who's legally coming over? Who are you, like, secure the borders? We only want people coming over here. What is your idea of people coming over here legally?
And Europeans.
Did you listen?
I can guarantee it.
Have you listened to any of the speech that he gave?
I've seen clips of it.
So you know that his speech pattern is more halted than Obama's.
Yes, it is.
It was like, holy crap, are you falling asleep?
Yeah.
Mid-sentence. I don't know what's happening right now. Yeah. That was part of the reason it annoyed me. The other part was the
nonsense. He's not, like I said, he's charismatic as a brick. Like, he's not an interesting guy to listen to at all.
I don't know how he's gotten as far as he has. It's madness.
He's gotten as far as he has because he's an obstructionist.
And he also believes he's the Messiah.
He's the Messiah for the Tea Party. I mean, he is anti everything that the administration does, which is pretty much tantamount to what the Tea Party stands for.
Yeah.
So they're just like, I like that guy. That guy's not getting anything done. That guy hates everything. I hate everything. I'm old. I hate all new things. So I'm a Tea Party person. And so I support this guy. The next big thing that he mentions,
I'm tired of these people saying this, and it's so hilarious.
It's amazing. He says, quote, imagine a simple flat tax that lets every American fill out his or her tax on a postcard. The crowd ate it up, according to this article. It says, imagine abolishing the IRS. And to which he got a standing ovation. Why would we do that? That doesn't make 80 cents.
So who are you sending these postcards to?
Yeah, I saw that on, what was it, the Nightly Show? He said that or something like that. Like, who's going to get the postcards? Is it perhaps a internal revenue service of sorts?
Perhaps it's like a service that handles our internal revenue.
Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about? But this is like a classic wet dream of the right. A flat tax, right? Like, and let's discuss what that is and what the implications of that is, because I think it's important, right? Because on the surface, it sounds awesome. So the idea here is, right now we have a progressive tax system. And so we basically...
It's supposed to be progressive.
It's supposed to be progressive. It is progressive in quotes. So the idea is, based on what you make, the more you make, the larger percentage you pay in taxes, right? And it's not quite that clear cut, right? So if you're making, I think the top tax bracket is $373,000 a year. If you're making that, every dollar over $377,000 is taxed at that rate. Every dollar under it is taxed at a lower rate, right? So it's not like you're paying all, let's say you make $1 million a year. You're not paying the percentage, that top percentage on all $1 million. You're only paying on that last $630,000, right? So you're even getting a break even then, right? Yeah. So the idea of the flat tax is everybody pays, let's say,
999,
right? Everybody pays the SimCity default tax plan. Everyone pays 9% across the board. Let's say 10% for easy math. So if you're making $30,000, you're paying 10% of that, $3,000 a year in taxes. If you make $300,000, then you're paying $30,000 in taxes. So the right says this is fair. This is a fair tax. The rich people aren't paying more. Poor people aren't paying more. It's fair. Except for the whole idea of reality.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the whole point.
Because the poorer you are, the more every dollar matters.
Right.
When you're paying that 10% is a lot. When you're not, when you are making 30 grand a year, that 10% means a hell of a lot. When you're making 300 grand a year, that 10% doesn't mean a hell of a lot.
No. Yeah, if you're making $300,000, if I made $300,000 and they were like, hey, by the way, your taxes, $30,000 for the whole year. That's it.
Okay, bye. Cool. $270,000 for me.
Yeah, $270,000 and that's it?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm rolling it. That's pretty good. That's not bad. But if I'm making 30 grand.
And you got to put out 3,000 of that?
Yeah, that's a lot. Look, and that's $30,000. That's not taking into account your children, all your living expenses. You know, let's say you're married. Each of you are making $30,000. That's $60,000. And now you walk away with what? You basically lose, what do we say, 10%?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're losing $6,000, right? That's okay. $54,000 is not a lot to raise, you know, on average, two adults and two kids on.
Yeah, this whole...
That's crazy.
Like, they don't understand that fair doesn't mean equal across the board. There's this image of what equality is,
yeah,
and what fairness is. And you've seen it where people like try to look over a fence.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it has the boxes like equality, like is straight across the board where they all have the same number of boxes. And there's a short person, a middle height person, and a tall person. And I mean, like the short people are getting screwed while the tall person's like, yeah, fine, cool. I get two boxes to stand on. And they're all like,
yeah, everybody has two boxes. Right. It doesn't make any sense.
Fairness was actually justice. It said,
yeah,
was like each person gets enough boxes to look over the fence.
Right.
Instead of just flat across the board. That's right. What actual reality is when it comes to being fair with this stuff, instead of this stupid notion. It's a stupid notion, and they know it's stupid because it helps them out.
Yes,
it helps out their shareholders
disproportionately. Right,
shareholders is not what I meant to say, but it helps out. Their,
it does them.
Well, yeah,
depends on where you are.
Their donors. It helps their donors out left and right, and that's what they want. That's all they care about is the people that are paying for them to be in office.
Yeah. Well, they're corporate bought, right? Which is the implication here. But it's fascinating because they're like, yeah, no, a flat tax. That would be great. So rich people would end up paying far less because you're not going to set the flat tax at 30%,
mm-hmm,
right? So the rich get to pay far less. The poor get to pay far more of their percentage of their income because right now, I should have brought this up. I'll see if I can find it in a few minutes. But like the lowest tax bracket is far below 10%. I think it's like 8% or 5% if you're like in the super lowest bracket in the country. So, yeah, you shouldn't raise it. I mean, and look, if it was going to be a flat tax, it'd probably be something like 20%. How could you possibly afford that if you made $15,000 or $20,000 a year? How could you possibly afford it?
You know.
Yeah. Oh, well, you could just buy a car and live in a house and all that. You couldn't live what we call in America a quote-unquote respectable life. You could not. You simply could not. But if you're rich, it would be awesome. Now, I do pretty well for myself. You know, I do very well.
Do you pull your bootstraps up every day?
I have had to pull up myself up by my bootstraps. But I do pretty well. If they told me and my wife that we had to pay 20%, we would be like, hell yeah, that's awesome. But look, I'm not a selfish dick, so I'm not only worried about myself, I'm also worried about the economy itself. How would we also, and this is something we haven't talked about, how could we pay for things? Because as much as people like to say, oh, I don't want to pay I don't want to pay taxes. Taxes suck. You still live in a society. Do you want to have roads or do you want to have giant potholes in them?
People have decided to become short-sighted and selfish. And yeah. This Ayn Rand nonsense that people get in their heads, like, oh, I love these books. Like, that's because you're an imbecile. And you don't realize that she died penniless, broke, and a piece of crap because of the life that she led of pure selfish nonsense. You can't go outside and not have something that your taxes have freaking paid for.
Yeah. The sidewalk you're walking on, the roads you're walking on, the road you drive on. Seriously. To your job. Those wouldn't be there.
Those traffic lights that keep you from getting dead, yeah. That's tax money. This money goes to, oh my goodness, it mm-hmm. just drives me crazy.
The reason why I think it drives you crazy is because it's so illogical.
It's so illogical and just, it's so short-sighted that these giant corporations that refuse to understand how the economy works just so they can get money now and not realizing that later there's not going to be any money to get.
Yeah. Wouldn't you rather just get a little less and then it be consistent than giant spike and then nothing?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me. But again, corporations are amoral. They're not immoral. They're just amoral and they don't care. Yep. It's just all about money and it's all about money right now. Or yesterday. So another point Senor Cruz makes, and I say that because I'm a jerk. He says, quote, imagine a federal government that works to defend the sanctity of human life and to uphold the sacrament of marriage. Now, Ted Cruz is a really religious guy. He's a, you know, Bible thumping Christian, you know, of sorts.
When it suits him.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like he believes in the messages or anything. But so he wants to defend the sanctity of human life and uphold, quote, the sacrament of marriage. Yeah, I mean, okay, that's fine. Whatever. That's your belief.
That's like your opinion, man.
Yeah. Like, look, the tide is turning, dude.
Yeah. It's
Done turned.
Honestly, if I can't imagine the Supreme Court ruling against it. I kind of vaguely can. But
yeah, just from a, like a fear perspective, yeah. I can imagine there's no way they do it.
It's going to be the law of the land. It's the law of most of the land right now.
Yeah.
So it's just get over it. It's not hurting you. Those states that have flipped over, have they destroyed your life and destroyed everything around you? No.
Look, Massachusetts has had marriage equality longer than any other state. They seem to be doing just fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they did get that really bad snowstorm. So maybe that was a part of like the backlash.
Some,
I don't know.
Some of them have said.
I'm sure they have.
I can't remember who, but there's actually...
someone who is a buffoon, I assure you.
Some politician said it. It was ridiculous.
So what happens when, like, the weather's fine? Like, does that mean God was cool with it? Or
yeah.
Like, for a couple of months every year, God's like, ah, gay marriage is
like,
fine.
Yeah, buggery, that's fine.
Don't worry about it.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's... let him say what he wants about that crap.
That's, yeah, to me, it means nothing. It's just sort of another. I mean, look where he is. He's at Liberty University. They're just like, yes, yes, screw love between two consenting adults.
That's, it's just him driving a wedge between himself and the masses. So
yeah, good luck to you, buddy. And then he says that, quote, instead of a federal government that seeks to dictate school curriculum through Common Core, imagine repealing every word of Common Core. Look. Common Core is a complex issue of trying to find standards for education across the United States and things like that. In some ways, I'm actually slightly conservative on this. Yeah. My wife is a professor, and my wife teaches teachers, right, or potential teachers. There is the notion that kids in every part of the country should learn the same way. Not that they shouldn't learn, like the argument that they should learn the same basic skills, I agree with, right? You got to prepare these kids for the world. Like you can't just be like, all right, Jim Bob, like you can just learn about, you know, that Jesus made cows and this other kid in New York City is learning about evolution. You can't, you have to have some level of standard. And I don't have a problem with that. That to me is reasonable. However, the notion that kids in Kentucky learn the same as kids in New York City is false because of their environment, the way the vast difference in cultures, like they just aren't the same.
See, we're actually kind of on the same page here, but I would also add that a lot of Common Core stuff has kids learning for tests and that's it.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, it's a complex issue. And it's complex issues have complex answers. They don't have repeal it. And then what? Then what after that?
What are you, again, what are you for?
Yeah.
What is the replacement for Common Core? What are your ideas about how do you move forward? How do you educate these kids in a comprehensive, intelligent way? Okay, we repealed it.
Now what?
Now what? Like, come on, man.
Like, if he was actually president, what would he do? Besides, day one, repeal everything. And then?
I'm out.
Go to war.
Guys, I'm in standby Israel. We have now held up the sacrament of marriage, and we repealed everything. Forget first hundred days. First 100 minutes. You're welcome, everybody. President Ted Cruz. Chris, President.
President Biden. Ted Cruz out there clearing brush and playing golf for the rest of his term.
What else? Yeah, what else you got, dude? I have five plans. I nailed them all first day. I'm out. Done. You're welcome. So I find the whole idea of Ted Cruz and his anti everything sort of viewpoint to just be fascinating. But we'll see, man. I can't wait for
fascinating is a word I would use.
Look,
it's very amusing.
He is an interesting character. And yes, by the way, he is eligible to run for president because his mother was born here and she is an American citizen. However, I feel like I think we can put it down in the books that anybody who had a problem with Obama being president based on, you know, legal status is a racist. I think we can definitively say it now.
Well,
I mean, I could definitively say it months ago, but now there is no fight, right? No, like there's no fight. Although I did hear, to his credit, God, I hate giving him credit. To his credit, Donald Trump said he is going to hire people to look into Ted Cruz's background to see if he's an American citizen. And I kind of was like, ooh, I kind of like that.
You know why?
Yeah, because he's running.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. I'm going to love these debates.
And look, there's somebody else who might be running, too. We'll talk about
Ted Cruz. We got to hit this one last thing with Ted Cruz.
Okay, go for it.
So Ted Cruz is in an interview, and they're talking about the fact that he's not going to be a senator anymore, and how is he going? Well, that
that his wife is taking
That's what it is. His wife, who works for freaking Goldman Sachs, is
taking, right. Hello.
Seriously, his wife is taking leave from there. So how are they going to have health insurance when they were doing it through that? And he's like, "Well, I'm just going to do the government subsidy." Oh, so you're going to have Obamacare? And he says, "Well, yeah, one of the only good things about Obamacare. So now Obamacare is great." And you'll use it happily when it helps you out. And what's even worse is, he doesn't need to.
That is correct.
Rich, go get your own private health insurance. There's no reason for you to do this other than the fact that you're being a cheap bastard.
Right, but that was the great thing, right? So this article is wonderful because he comes out and he's like, well, I have to do it. No, you don't. No one has to get health insurance if they can afford outside health insurance. You could get the Cadillac of health insurance, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife works for Goldman Sachs. You are a senator. Senators make, I believe, roughly about $150,000 to $170,000 a year, minus the fact that insider trading is legal for senators, you know, all of that, right? Minus all of that, a congressman, you have all this money, and I think he has two kids. You have enough money to pay for insurance for them. But you will take the government insurance because you just don't want to pay.
Yep.
You don't want to pay for it out of pocket.
Yep.
Dude,
this guy is a clown show and a half.
Dude, and that was the best part because it was funny. There's someone that we know is saying, you know, they actually didn't really see the point of people being up in arms about the hypocrisy. You know, he's just, you know, you can, and I do agree, like, you can be against something, but have to use a system because it's a system that's in place. He doesn't have to. And that's the point. You don't have to. So there is reality and then there's political reality, right? Those are two very different things. And they are both equally important when you're running for office, right? It's like, why doesn't Obama just free all the people who got arrested for weed? Well, because he can't do that in the first year because it would blow up his presidency and destroy any other thing you want to do. Well, that's what I would do. Well, that would be reality. And then there's political reality, which is that would damage him and then he wouldn't be able to do healthcare and stuff like that, right? Like, that's an example of those things. In this case, reality is you should be able to say, I am against Obamacare. I don't think it's a good system for the country and everything else. However, this is, you know, I have problems with it and I want to repeal it and everything else, but it does have some good points. So I am using it. I want to replace it with something else. I'm actually for something, but this is a stopgap right now. Political reality is, what are you doing? You're giving people ammunition to destroy you in a debate.
And like just 2 days ago, you said repeal every word. Every word? Apparently, 2 days ago, you say every word. Now you're saying, oh, it's one of the good things. Really?
Yeah. Really. Dude, if I'm one of those Republicans in that debate, I'm just like, I'm writing down those quotes.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just rubbing my hands, getting ready for that first debate. Because the very first time he came out, and he was like, we're going to repeal Obamacare. I would just raise my hand like, but aren't you on it? Well, I had to. But can't you afford it yourself?
He backed down after that. Like later in the day, I think.
He's still going to do it. No, he's going to take it. He's not going to take the subsidy. Again, I'm not really sure what the difference is there.
I want to say I'm done with him, but I'm just so amused by him.
We ain't done with him by damn sight. Oh, he'll be back. He'll be back. Yeah, I just found that. I found that this whole week of Ted Cruzisms to be amazing. All right, so moving on from there, the Supreme Court has rejected a challenge to the Wisconsin voter ID law. Now, so what happened was during, you know, right before the last election, the Republicans in Wisconsin passed a voter ID law that required people to have ID when they went to vote, which I am 99% against, right? And I'll give my reason, my 1% reason as to why I am for it, which is even a shaky 1%. So they passed this. It was taken to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court basically came down and said, no, you can't do that. And not because they felt that it was unconstitutional, which I think it should be, but rather because it was too close to the election and people had already mailed in ballots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they were like, listen, you can't, if you're going to do this, you have to give people enough time to get ID. You can't just be like, you need ID, you know, 6 weeks before.
So just after the election, they jumped right the hell on it.
Of course, right? So apparently the Supreme Court did not smack it down. They really only smacked it down because of the timing issue last time, right? So when I say that I'm 99% fine with voter ID or 99% against voter ID and the 1% that I am for it, that 1% is because I think that if you have a scenario where, one, they're saying that the voter ID is because they're trying to stop all this voter fraud.
Which doesn't happen.
Which doesn't exist. I think it's like 0.062%. It's infinitesimal.
Yeah, it's like two people that it wasn't even fraud. It was just
like a mistake.
One was a mistake. Another one was literally voting for their son who was out of town. Yeah.
Rampant.
Ridiculous.
Right. So my 1% in support of this would be that if they required voter ID, that the state paid for. Because if I have to pay for it as a citizen, that is a poll tax, and poll taxes are illegal. So it disproportionately affects people who are poor, who should be voting amongst anyone else.
I'm not sure who it was. She was in the news just yesterday, and she's pushing for, I can't remember what state it is, where basically you get registered to vote automatically, period. If the DMV has all this information on you as it is, why not just take the one little tiny extra step instead of jumping all these stupid hoops?
And that's interesting. I like that.
Like if you go get any kind of ID, you're registered to vote, period.
Yeah, look, I don't have a problem with that. Like the thing is, I don't, you know, you don't have to vote, but it would be nice if people were at least registered to vote, because I think that's what holds people back. If you have a driver's license, you should automatically be registered to vote, and they should just mail you a voter ID card.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's just not.
It's, but the thing, but the whole voter ID thing, why it's ridiculous is because people are like, yeah, getting a voter ID is free. Sure. But getting all the stuff you need to get a voter ID.
That's where the, and that's why I said it's a shaky 1% for me.
Yeah. Because
that's exactly right.
It takes you so much money to go through all the stupid hoops to do this nonsense.
Right. Like if you're, what is it to get a copy of your birth certificate? It's like $60 someplace.
It's some ridiculous amount of money. And guess what? I don't know where the hell my birth certificate is. You know who had that? My mother. You know who lost it? My mother.
Yeah, right. I have a copy of my birth certificate, but it's a, like, yeah, I mean, those things are really easy to lose. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, when you get a passport, they ask you to mail your birth certificate to them?
No.
You have to? I did. They mail it back to you. I mean, they're federal government or whatever, but I'm like, can't you just get a copy of it? Like, this is the one I have.
Why don't, yeah, it's just.
Can I go to an office and just show it to you?
It's BS. It's a big giant pile of garbage.
Right.
But, yeah, so this whole Supreme Court standing behind this stupid voter ID law, I think it's just a big pile of crap, and it just shows where our Supreme Court is, because it's very conservative on the right, regardless of what the issues do for or against the people. They don't care if it's for or against the people. It is entirely done for what's the word I'm looking for? For, brain fart.
The benefit of...
Not the benefit. It's just for their ideals. It's their ideology.
Their ideology.
It's entirely for ideology and not actually looking at the laws and how it affects the people, because they're not thinking about people that are different from them. They're just thinking about their own personal ideology, which is garbage.
Right.
These laws are supposed to protect everyone. That's why the majority should not be able to make laws that punches down on the minority.
Because right. It never works out well.
It's the job of the majority to look out for the minority, which we will be discussing a little bit later with more of this nonsense.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I feel like there is a way that you can handle, you know, voting and making sure that people have the right to vote and give them as much access as humanly possible. But it is a clear, there's a clear motive here,
yeah,
to disenfranchise the poorest American citizens, yeah, to disenfranchise people who certainly can't afford the IDs, people who certainly can't afford to even get to the polls and things like that. They're just making it harder and harder for people, because they know that people who are disenfranchised have a tendency to vote for Democrats. You don't see the Democrats coming up with these rules.
And also, yeah, the fewer people that vote in elections in general, I don't know if you guys know this, but the fewer people that vote, the more it skews Republican.
Yes.
It's the more it skews right wing. When you get more people to vote, the more it goes to the left. And that's what they want. They want fewer people. They want fewer people that vote against them. And like you said, yeah, you don't see Democrats doing this madness.
Right. Now, the argument from the right would be, well, it's because the Democrats are fine with voter registration fraud and stuff like that. But it doesn't exist.
No, it does not.
It doesn't exist. So, it's a simple case of you're trying to push your ideology by any means necessary. So we shouldn't, I guess, be all that shocked. All right. So the next story, which I find to be heartwarming, is, look, this guy's my new favorite, man. The Minnesota,
I've seen this.
Yeah. Minnesota Governor, Mark Dayton. We talked about him in their first episode. He's a heir to the Target family fortune. He's a billionaire,
mm-hmm,
and he is an absolute beast of a governor. They have a $1 billion surplus in Minnesota. I mean, he's doing the exact opposite of what Scott Walker is doing, and it is actually working.
Yeah, we talked about this last time I was on.
Yeah, yeah, very first episode. This guy's a monster, right? So he's great. So he's proposing spending nearly a fifth of his state's budget surplus, which is $1 billion, a fifth of that $1 billion on creating universal preschool program for Minnesota's 4-year-olds. That would make it one of just a handful of states that actually offers universal full day pre-kindergarten.
And that's amazing. That's So, oh my goodness, that's how much money is that going to save parents to be able to raise their child properly?
Exactly.
How great is that going to be to have to get your child started as soon as possible with being in a social atmosphere to make your child nice and well rounded and start learning the things that a child should start learning at that age? This guy is awesome as hell. I love him right now.
Yeah. They said that using what they're proposing, the amount of money they're proposing and things like this, they would have 99.6% enrollment.
Wow.
You know, Minnesota is 50th. 50th in pre-K coverage. 50th. Because they don't do it.
Jeez.
They don't do it.
Well, now.
Now this guy is like, we're doing it. If they get this passed, because he has a Republican Congress, but they've been willing to work with him because he's been doing so well. But I looked it up. He still has a 54% approval rating. I'm like, how is it only 54%?
There's a freaking
ideology, right? This guy's a Democrat. Messaging. I don't like him.
Yeah, that's it. It's you're a Democrat. I don't like you, regardless of what they actually do.
Yeah. This guy has been an absolute boom for their economy.
Seriously. This.
Yeah, 54%. Yeah,
awesome guy. Awesome.
Now, so here's some interesting facts about this, which I found to be really, really interesting. So it says Dayton called on the state landmark lawmakers to pass a $348 million in new spending for early public school in the state so that they can create a preschool program. That would represent about a fifth of the state's projected $1.9 billion surplus. Oh, okay. The surplus is almost $2 billion now. Okay. and that would be the biggest funding increase he has put forward this year. So for one time, a politician says, I'm going to put forth a lot of money towards education. And this is his biggest one. This is the biggest thing he's done.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
I love this.
Says that the governor's administration estimates that 47,300 preschoolers would be covered in the first year of the program, which would expand to 57,000 after that. Minnesota currently ranks, like I said, 50th nationally for its share of students attending full day preschool. And they talk about how preschool, the inclusion of preschool lowers the level of incarceration rates for kids as they get older or as adults. They score higher cognitively on tests because they learn language and communication skills. They are better at dealing with other kids in groups and things like that because they're learning at an earlier rate. Who doesn't love this guy?
I'm going to put this out there, and if someone can come up with a better name for this, I want you to make a better name for this because this is horrible. But this week, Mark Dayton, you're this week's forward looker.
Yes, we're definitely gonna have to come up with a better name. But yeah, like this guy, I feel like this guy's like the champion of the week.
Yeah, he's
this is awesome
because he's looking forward. He's trying to make things better in the future instead of making things better for some small minority right the hell.
Yeah,
now.
Right for the 2 seconds in front of him. Yeah, right now it says the high quality program. Now this is in Chicago, the hellscape that is Chicago right now, right. A high-quality program in Chicago was found to increase children's earnings later in life and reduce their chances of becoming incarcerated, which also saves the city about, no bullshit, $11 for every $1 they spend on the program.
Wow.
That is an amazing return on investment. That's amazing.
And why can't we get that in everywhere? Why can't people look at these numbers and say, oh, I know why? Because they're selfish.
Hold. President Obama has proposed creating a nationwide universal preschool program and included $75 billion in his budget to fund it.
When did that happen?
When they came up with the budget 2 weeks ago or last week.
Wow.
Yes.
I missed that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Again, these are really progressive ideas.
Yes.
That do not get mentioned. They don't get mentioned.
Oh my God.
Democrats, goodness. Where are you running on this? This would be so. I would be like, if I'm Hillary Clinton, I'm like, listen. That was a great idea. I'm going to co-opt it. Nationwide daycare.
If you're a Republican
and you're a parent, even you got to go, I kind of like that idea. It's not bad.
I'm not a Hillary fan, but I really want her to come out swinging with this stuff.
Yeah. I would like to see her go to the left. Because if she went to the left, and the thing is, she's not like a hardcore. She's not a Elizabeth Warren. She's not like a card-carrying liberal. She never has been. But if she could just go a little more to the left, she'd be unstoppable, dude. She'd be unstoppable. But she's corporate butt. That's the problem.
That's why I really dislike her.
Yeah, that's the same for me. Look, I would hold my nose and vote for her over any of those yahoos on the right. Please, like, get out of here. I would. It's not a matter. I don't necessarily look at it as like, oh, the lesser two evils. Look, I don't believe in sacrificing the perfect for the good for the perfect. I just don't. Yeah. Like, oh, well, they don't believe everything I believe, so it's great. No one does. They just don't, right? Like, there are things that I probably, if I really, really, like, hardcore look, I'm sure there are things about Bernie Sanders I don't agree with. Look, I love Elizabeth Warren. Her views on Israel, I don't agree with. So I'm not going to be like, screw Elizabeth Warren because she doesn't agree with me on that one thing.
Yeah.
It depends on...
The one-issue voters drive me absolutely up the wall. Usually that one issue, a lot of these voters is, oh, you're Republican or Democrat? Well, then I hate you.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
There's more to it, man. And this guy, man, look, that's a solid move on this guy's part. Wow. So, yes, Mark Dayton. You're the forward looker of the week. That would be really hard. Like, I just like imagine like a badge, like he just like a sticker you put on his chest. Like, good job, buddy. That's a great story though. That was like a really heartwarming story. I was like, wow, this guy is actually doing real work stuff. Okay. So the next story is hilarious. This is so in Florida right now. They're going back and forth. They're debating. They're having sort of this underground debate about whether or not climate change is real. Spoiler alert, it is. Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, who looks like a snake, has come to life as a human being.
These pictures, I swear, every time I see them, I think they're Photoshopped. But they aren't.
He looks like Voldemort.
That one picture that every plant body uses.
It's like, he's got his mouth open. It's hilarious. I'm like, oh my God, a snake has grown full human sentience and is governing a very large state in the United States.
Oh my God.
So Rick Scott is an ideologue and he doesn't believe in global warming. So he has pretty much instructed his people that they can't say climate change because he believes that it's not real, so he doesn't want to promote that sort of thing. So here is a clip of, what is this guy's name?
Unfortunate Goober, that's his name.
Director of Florida Division of Emergency Management, Brian Kuhn. He's speaking to people in the Florida, like Senate or what have you, or the House. And so he's talking to State Senator Jeff Clemons about what they're going to do about global warming, and there's some federal mandates. So notice that he cannot say climate change. So here you go. This is about a 2-minute clip, but I want everybody to hear it in full.
Mr. Coons, I have just a couple. You were in D.C. Last time when we went through this particular issue, and as you said, this is federal. These are federal funds. Are you familiar with the new procedures that FEMA issued just this week dealing with climate change and the fact that they're going to be requesting or demanding that states have a climate change plan before they're going to issue some of these preparedness dollars?
I am.
All right, is that going to affect these monies at all?
It will not. Okay. That one refers to a state's hazard mitigation plan, which is done every 5 years. In the next iterations of them will require to have language to that effect.
What were those words you were using?
I used climate change, but I'm suggesting that maybe as a state we use atmospheric reemployment. That might be something that the governor could get behind. So my worry, obviously, it was with these dollars, but in a more general sense, that we as a state have to come up with some sort of plan in order to be able to make sure we keep our preparedness dollars for hurricanes. I'm assuming that is something that you are going to be speaking with the governor about and trying to take up so that we make sure we don't lose our dollars in the future.
Yes, Senator. And our next state mitigation plan is due to the feds in 2018. So we have some time in which to have that conversation.
So even though that takes place, the edict starts kind of in March of 2016, we don't have to.
That's correct. But my understanding is at this point is it will require that future versions of our mitigation plan will be required to have language discussing that issue.
What issue is that?
The issue that you mentioned earlier regarding.
I'm going to turn the chair back over. Well, maybe I shouldn't right now. Okay. Any other questions on this particular issue? Any objections to including this?
Okay. Dude, that was awesome. I love that guy just belly laughing, dude.
Cackling his ass off. He can't handle it.
Oh, yeah. It was just like, what was that word again? The phrase you just said. What was it? Nothing.
The words.
The words you said. How pathetic is this in American politics that you literally can't say the phrase climate change because your boss has basically said, like, how can you if you do?
Which is nuts. It doesn't make any sense. I can't believe the lengths to which they're going to ignore reality.
Yeah.
Like they can't say the sea levels are rising or anything. They're just not
right.
Permitted
in Florida. They're not in.
Yeah.
They're not in Wyoming.
The first place it's going to affect, and no, they're not allowed to talk.
They're
to
not
touch
allowed
it.
To talk about. But so okay, a little bit of background here, which is really really hilarious. So the federal government, in a very very smart move, said, "Listen. In order for you to get FEMA funding to do mitigation against climate change issues, and Florida obviously would be one of the states that would want to do that.
Yeah.
In order to do that, you have to come up with a climate. You have to acknowledge that climate change is real, basically, and come up with a plan. Well, you ain't getting that money unless you do it. You can't call it. What was the joke? Like. Temperature reemployment or whatever.
Oh my goodness.
It was hilarious. But they're basically, they had a whole thing on NPR about this. I was listening the other day. And they are, you know, this is funnier, so that's why I played it. But there is like a major sort of iron fist being put down on people working in Florida on the state level so that they don't say anything about this and straight deny that these things are happening. Meanwhile, coral reef and things like that are dying. And they're not doing anything to protect it.
Because it goes against their corporate overlords.
Right.
Which is insane. Like, guys, your planet is dying. Why don't you fix this so that you can still be around to make that money that you love so damn much?
Yeah.
It's insanity to keep doing this to yourselves.
Yeah.
You're doing it to everyone.
I just don't get it. But I just found that to be really funny. And I knew we had to play that video when I saw that. I was like, oh, okay.
That's just, it's hilarious. It's so the best thing ever.
All right. Speaking of things that are not the best thing ever, Governor Mike Pence, who I am not a fan of at all, Governor of Indiana, Mike Pence, has signed a religious freedom bill that basically legalizes discrimination against LGBT folks in Indiana. So what this bill allows is people to refuse services to gay folks based on
their gayness,
based on that and based on that person's religious views as they feel like, oh, I don't think. I think this is going against my religious views. This is hurting me. In my religious soul or what have you.
But,
so I'm not going to bake a cake for your gay wedding. I'm not going to deal with you in any, like I can basically I can refuse to serve you at my restaurant if I want based on religious reason.
For any reason, for anything. And it's, I mean, just to drive it home to people that don't give a damn about gay rights. And if you're one of those people, stop listening. I don't like you anymore. is this will affect anyone. People can refuse service for any given reason.
Yeah, you just say it's because of my religious right.
Oh, my strongly held. And combine this with the
Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, thing. The Hobby Lobby decision. It's all, this is my strongly felt religious blah blah blah.
Right.
Like, oh, great. So you can just make up whatever you want to be upset about at any given point in time and say that, like, who's going to be the arbiter of what is or isn't a strongly held religious belief?
Not only that, but I think the notion of the bill is also false, right? It's not about your religious belief. It's not at all. It's not even about your strongly held religious belief. It's about strongly held Christian beliefs.
Of course it is.
Because let's get real. The age-old question is, which we like to do on this show, is let's swap out Christians for Muslims. And what does it sound like then? Get out of here. You think Mike Pence would sign that law? See, if I'm an activist in Indiana, oh, I'm going to the Muslims. And I'm like, listen, we're going to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what we're going to do. We're going to start refusing people who are not Muslim. How many minutes will it take for a news crew to be in front of that halal shop or whatever the hell it is in Indiana? That's what I would do. I would be like, oh, okay, that's cool. Anybody wearing I would just make a sign, no Christians welcome, Muslims only.
Yep.
Done. I would wait for Fox News to send Bill O'Reilly to come talk to me. I'd be like, I would be like, here's my phone number. You can reach me at this number. I'll be glad to do an interview. That's what I would do. I refuse any, or I'm an atheist. I would just say no religious people allowed in my store at all. At all. I would open a store that I didn't even have just to refuse people. I would have nothing on the shelves and I would just refuse to allow them in.
Yeah, I would find everything to refuse people on the stupidest grounds that you can possibly. Oh, you're pregnant? I don't like children. I don't like children that aren't born yet. Could you please leave my store?
Yeah. Strongly held religious views. That's funny. I don't know. That's fine. It's just kind of one of those things where you don't really mean what you're saying.
You don't.
You don't. And you don't know what for a group of Neanderthals who is so afraid that Sharia law is coming to the Midwest.
I can't.
Hey, it's spoiler. I've been in the Midwest. It's really boring. If Sharia law is showing up anywhere, it ain't going to be there.
Guess what? Sharia law just showed up and you signed it.
Thank you.
Because that's exactly what this is. This is ruling by religion that you don't want to do. This, oh, it's foreign religion. Christianity didn't pop up in America. I'm sorry if you're Mormon.
Yeah.
But no.
Sorry.
Sorry, but not sorry. Yeah, it's ridiculous. They're like, well, no Sharia law. Like, what do you think you're doing?
Exactly.
This is absurd. These people that are trying, these history revisionists, like, no, it's a Christian nation. No, it's not. The Constitution explicitly says it's not.
But also, the Barbary Treaties, by the way, in case if you don't know what the Barbary Treaties are, you should look that up because it literally says the United States is not a Christian nation.
You mean the Treaty of Tripoli?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but people dismiss that all the time.
Oh, no. The Barbary Treaties and the Treaties of Tripoli, there's two different ones. It says it in two different places.
But they dismiss them all the time. It drives me crazy.
Of course.
Like, that doesn't count. Like, yes, it does.
Yeah. It either does or it doesn't, and they wrote it down, and it's law, so it counts.
It's about the intent of the founders. I'm like, that's who wrote the... Shut up.
Right. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, facts, who cares? Those are irrelevant. What does matter is that my strongly held religious beliefs are more important than the law of the land. And now they are law of the land. By the way, how long before this gets nailed as being unconstitutional? It can't last.
It needs to get smacked out so fast. One of the few people I know in Indiana is gay. And I'm already like talking like,
move.
Okay, me and my friends were like, we're going to come rescue you in a minute because this is absurd. Like, and when he said that this thing was about, I was talking to him last night about it and he said that blah, 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 it's going to get signed. I was like, wait a minute. I honestly kind of stopped paying attention to it because after they tried to do it in Arizona and that flopped because everybody jumped against it, including the Super Bowl. I was like, no one else could be that stupid.
You clearly don't know Mike Pence.
Clearly.
He's that dumb.
And did you see the picture of him signing it with all the nuns smiling around him? It made me sick. I'm like, what are you smiling about?
Also, you're a nun. Like, you're a nun.
Yeah. You're supposed
What's
to
wrong with
love,
you?
Not just be... Like, where was it where people were eating a cake in celebration of their anti-gay marriage? It was in Texas.
Really?
Yeah, there was a... They were... had a cake in honor of, like, the something anniversary of anti-gay marriage law.
Wow.
It was... I'm just like...
That seems like a really odd time to have a cake.
It seems like it's really odd time to be gay in that state.
Yeah, it'd be time to go. It'd be time to go.
These people, I swear, I don't like calling them people because they're just, they disgust me.
Yeah. Yikes. So we'll see. Okay, so interesting, in foreign policy this week, we only have one story. I think from now on, I'm going to do just like one really good story in foreign policy and just really keep it because I really want to delve into it. And this is a doozy. The White House plots to possibly move away from Israel in trying to negotiate peace with in the Gaza Strip and to recognize Palestine as a state.
Good.
So after Benjamin Netanyahu was reelected, unfortunately, which is a real blow for freedom and justice everywhere, after he was reelected, the White House did something really curious. They basically were like, yeah, we're like, they normally call and, oh, congratulations.
Yeah, no.
It was like, no.
No. Why call and congratulate this guy that just came over here recently to crap all over you?
Yeah. I kind of like quote unquote lame duck session Obama. Kid doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, it's because he's been screwed over way more than anyone has any right to do. So right. Yeah, I'm glad he doesn't give a crap about this nonsense. You came over and tried to talk my own country against me. No, I'm not going to call you and congratulate you on anything. Yeah. No, I'm not going to stand with you. You're evil. Yeah. And all these people out there, oh, you got to support Israel. Calm it down. Back it up. Why are you supporting Israel? Please tell me. Please tell me.
You know
it's not,
why.
It's not just this automatic thing. Oh, because they help us have a foothold in all the oil.
That's
duh.
No. What? That's not. No, I think the reason why the United States backs Israel so much, unlike.
I'm sorry, that's Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, yeah. But the reason why they back Israel so much is because Christians here believe that that is a holy land, and that's where Jesus is going to come back, and all that. Trust me, I have family, my wife's family that lives in the Midwest. They are really hardcore Christians. They have gone to Israel. Of all the places in the world, they've gone to Israel on vacation to see, like, oh, this is where Jesus was, and all that. They believe that when Jesus comes back, Armageddon and all, that's why they push for war.
And
because they think that's going to bring Jesus back.
But you know what? That's fine and dandy. That doesn't mean you have to support the dude in power. It doesn't mean he's good for anything.
No. But they think,
they want all the war?
They want more war. They don't want peace. They want war, dude. It's a death cult in a lot of ways. And, you know, look, people don't like to talk about that. And look, this is our show. Do what we want. Talk about what we want. I don't believe in holding back. But they don't want peace. And Netanyahu doesn't want peace. That's why right before the election, the day before the election, he came out and was like, under me, there will be no Palestinian state.
Yeah, and then afterwards he's like, oh, no, I take it back.
Yeah.
Like, shut up, you liar.
Yeah, you're a liar, dude. He did that to gin up the right wing. And they were like, yeah, we hate the Palestinians. Yeah, 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 yeah. And then they voted for him. And then he was like, I still got to deal with my allies tomorrow. So, guys.
If he wanted a two-state solution, there would have been a two-state solution a long time ago.
That is exactly right. So because of that flip-flop, there's reports that the White House basically was like, oh, you won't play that game. How about we do this? How about we stop talking to you about getting peace in Gaza? How about we go to the UN and then we get it done? Circumventing Benjamin Netanyahu altogether. That is a massive power move. That's a massive power move that I don't think is getting enough press. That is unprecedented. And you can say whatever you want about this guy, but he's trying to really make it happen, dude. He's trying to really get peace. Do I think he'll get peace before he leaves? No, I do not. However, he's trying. This is the first time I've seen a legit strategy that might work. That might actually work.
But no, they want war. Also, they want war to make money. So
that is also correct. So, yeah, apparently the U.S. is talking about backing for, so when Israel, like one of the big things was, you know, you always hear like, oh, Israel needs to be recognized as a state. It does. It is recognized as a state.
Yeah, seriously.
It's in the United Nations. Like, it is. Like, that's a fact. Palestine is not a recognized state. And they were told that you need to go through the proper channels, through the UN, be recognized as the Palestinian state, and everything like that. And they were, that's when they had stopped all the rocket bombs and all that other nonsense. And they were trying, they were like, okay, you said we had to go through this to be recognized as a state. We're going to do it just like you said. And they did. And Israel freaking blocked it, using us as a proxy because we have more power in the UN to block it.
I remember that. And yeah. I was really ticked off. Like, really?
The thing really? That you asked for.
The thing that you asked for, the thing that you did yourselves to become a state.
That's right.
And you shut it down.
For someone else. Why? If they're in the UN, that's a better negotiating medium than just lobbing rockets at each other.
Nope, they want the war.
They don't want peace.
They want war, they want strife. And honestly, the more...
And by the way, that's not to say Israelis don't want peace. I think Israelis do want peace.
Israelis do. It's the power structure. It's Netanyahu. Yeah. Netanyahu, the more strife there is, clearly, the more he'll be in office.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. And I don't get the idea of supporting this guy other than if you are someone who wants to see more people die and more open air prison and stuff like that. I think I don't get it. I just do not get it.
It's,
I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, this is why I keep saying, oh, you have to, and for the normal people, they're like, you gotta support Israel. Like, no, you don't.
You
gotta support, you can support your people there. You don't have to support the government, because it's nonsense.
Crazy. All right, let's move into this week in wackadoo politics. So, the first story up is awesome. We have two stories this week. They're both awesome. So, Louis Gohmert is...
an imbecile?
Yes. he is from the great state of Texas. He is a representative from the great state of Texas. And he was talking to the FCC chairman, Tom Wheeler, I believe. And he was talking about the fact that Tom Wheeler came out a number of weeks ago saying, listen, we're passing net neutrality. We're going to make the internet a utility. This is happening. It's great. Rejoice. Everyone was really happy, all except for the corporate masters.
And the people that have been drinking the Kool-Aid and thinking that it's a bad thing.
Exactly. It's the quote-unquote, I mean, Ted Cruz, president.
Regular people are like, oh, no, it's so bad. And I'm like, shut up. It's not. It's good for you.
No, it's because people don't read, man. People don't read. But, I mean, people like, you know, soon-to-be president Ted Cruz said that it was, quote, Obamacare for the internet.
Which doesn't even make sense.
Like, dude, stop talking. Okay, like, just stop. But so Louis Gohmert is fired up, man. He's fired up at Tom Wheeler. So let me play a clip of that. It is amazing.
And I heard you just say Congress asked us to look at the rules. What from Congress asked the FCC to look at rules regarding the internet?
The 1996 Telecommunications Act.
Oh, so it was recent. That was 19 years ago. You seized on that to say Congress was asking you to look at the internet 19 years later. Well, I would submit to you that something in 1996 had nothing to do with wanting you to take charge of the internet. And I would also thank you for your willingness to leave some room for exploratory business models and new business models. That's really so gracious of you, because before the FCC stepped in, everybody was able to explore new business models. The only difference is now you're playing God with the internet, saying, I will decide, we'll leave some room for you to come up with new business models. That's not your job. The court said that in January 2014, and you can change the wording around, but it doesn't change the facts. And Congress is not asking you, was not asking you to take over the internet. So I want to make that clear. You find something in the last 4 years where Congress has passed it with by elected officials of this country and said, please take over the internet, then that would be good evidence before this committee. But until that happens, some of us, most of us in the House and most of us in the Senate do not want you to decide who gets to develop a new business model and who cannot. And I yield back my time.
Made zero sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. It was amazing.
Like, that's not what's happening. I don't know if he actually believes that or if he's just puppeting his masters.
I feel like he's so dumb, he might believe it.
Yeah, he is pretty damn
stupid. He's one of the dumbest people in Congress by far.
I don't know. I do know how he gets elected by, you know, other super people. But, yeah, that's not, like, you can't even, he couldn't even articulate what he meant by.
New business models. What new business model? They said to keep the internet as it is. What was the new business model?
No one's taken anything over. That's not what happens with the utility. Utilities are protected. Utilities are stabilized and made to stay the way they are, period. You're not, no one's sectioning off the internet for you can put a business over here in this little tiny area of the internet because that makes no sense whatsoever.
That's not how the internet works.
It's a series of tubes. You get these tubes, and who gets the rest of the tubes? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about, Gomer. You're an imbecile.
Like, he's really not smart. I just love that you're playing God with the internet.
He's so angry.
Did God create the internet?
He's so angry with his nonsense. You could change around the words, but it doesn't change the facts. What facts? Please quote them to me. Like, please read them.
He basically his point is, listen, or let me translate. It's like, listen, guys, I get a lot of money from Comcast and those guys and Verizon, and they're not happy about this. And they wound up my little crank. And I shimmied my way out here onto the floor and I'm just firing words at you, but I don't really understand them. So if you could just do me a solid and make me feel like I did something, that'd be great.
Oh my God.
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, Louis Gohmert, you are the biggest whore like in politics right
my
now.
My asparagus.
Like, come on, man. You are the worst. You're the worst.
I wish you had dropped the asparagus line in there. Just for
I don't know that one.
You don't remember him talking about his asparagus?
No.
I'll show you after the show.
Okay.
It's so good. It makes no sense.
He's a dummy. He's just a dumb.
When you've heard it. I know you've heard it.
I have to check it out.
There's no way you haven't.
All right. So this next story, our final story this week is, this might be my favorite story of the week, period. Lobbyists for Monsanto, which is the very famous pesticide creator, and people really, really hate their guts. But lobbyist for Monsanto Roundup says that he says that the Roundup pesticide is safe enough to drink during a TV interview. Oh, what have you done? What have you done?
You can drink a quart of it. People try to commit suicide and fail.
These are quotes from him. So we actually have the audio of this.
This is great.
It's amazing. All right, here you go.
I do not believe that glyphosate in Argentina is causing increases in cancer. You can drink a whole quart of it and it won't hurt you.
You want to drink some? We have some here.
I'd be happy to, actually. But not really, but...
Not really?
I know it wouldn't hurt me.
If you say so, I have some glyphosate.
No, I'm not stupid.
Ah, okay. So you.
No, but I know
so it's dangerous.
I know people try to commit suicide fail regularly.
Tell the truth.
It's not dangerous to humans. No, it's not.
So are you ready to drink one glass of glyphosate?
No, I'm not an idiot. Interview me about golden rice. That's what I'm talking about.
Really.
Okay, then it's finished.
Except,
the interview is finished.
That's a good way to solve things.
Yeah. You're a complete jerk.
You're a complete jerk. You're so mad. I'm gonna go.
Oh, I love it, dude. That was awesome. that guy who's doing the interview, I don't even think I would have thought of to say that. Like, that was so good. Like, oh, it's fine to drink. We have some in the back. You want to drink it?
He doesn't even bring it out. The guy gets scared. He doesn't.
Yeah, it wasn't even sitting there.
Yeah.
Just like, no, we have it. Like, we just pause. We'll go get it. Like, it's right in the back, guys.
I love how he's like, yeah, sure. No, no.
Not really.
No. Come on. I'm not stupid. I'm not an idiot. Like, what are you saying? You're saying, oh my goodness.
One or the other, dude. One or the other. So good, man. I mean, that was just such a classic moment. Don't say thing. Look, words have meaning or they don't. Don't say that it's fine if it ain't fine. Like, shut up. Just shut your mouth. So that's it for us for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. We will be back next week. I'm not sure who's going to be in, but it'll be somebody.
Yep. I probably won't be I won't be back for a while. Oh, guys. Yeah, that'll be explained later.
Yeah. Make sure you, go check out our other shows on the network. Just go to lookforwardshow.com. And, obviously if you're listening right now, you already have premium content, but go check out some of the other shows if you haven't already.
And drop us a line so we can get something better than Forward Looker.
Yeah, we certainly could use a better phrase than that. But also, make sure you leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If you write a 5-star review, we will read it on air. So we would appreciate it. Get the word out about the show. Make sure you share out the show, too, on social media. That's really beneficial to us as well. We're on Twitter at Look Forward Show. We are on Facebook at Look Forward Show, I believe, as well. And so you can find us there. And again, we'll see you next week.
Adios.